This morning when I came into church, one of the first places that I went to is I went straight through those doors because there have been people that have been here this morning and they've been preparing spaghetti. They've been preparing a wonderful spaghetti dinner for after church. They are going to be in boxes and everything. They're $8 a piece, and so they're ready to go, so you can have those. But I got assurance from the group that was preparing those spaghetti dinners, those to-go box dinners for today, and they said there's plenty. So y'all take your phones right now and send text. Well, you've got permission. You can do texts, you can do phone calls, whatever you'd like to do. And let about 20 of your friends know that you're going to bring them spaghetti dinners for lunch. Go ahead and do that. But there are, I will say this, there are spaghetti dinners for 20 of your friends, or if there are less than 20, there are spaghetti dinners that are ready to go. But I also recognize that I stand in that unique place that I am between you and lunch this morning, so I'll keep that in mind. That line in that psalm that says, Lord, I give you control, consume me from the inside out. When you do that, it may mean that there are changes, sometimes significant changes, sometimes not so significant changes. This morning, I'm going to be preaching from a text that is not what I plan to preach. It's going to be from the Gospel of Matthew, I think, for the thankfulness of people that are willing to go with those changes and those directions like that. I think that you'll be able to see that on the screen. But Matthew chapter 16, that's where we're going to be at this morning. Matthew chapter 16, this is a New Testament text. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. But Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start at verse 13 and continue through verse 17. And there it is. You can follow along on the screens. You can see it that way, but it really is that when you do give God control, there are amazing things that do happen. But I invite you to hear these words. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, for all those things that you reveal to us, for those places, O God, that are in our lives that you uncover before us, for those places where you give us eyes to see, we are grateful. We ask this morning that as we not only hear your words, but as we see your words, and hopefully, Lord, in this moment, that as we feel the power of your words, we pray that you may speak to us. Lord, that as our hearts come before you and as they meditate on your holy words, Lord, we pray that you may reveal to us insights and new aspects of our own lives. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken to me. And I pray and ask that as I speak this morning, that the words that I say, that they will be pleasing and that they'll be acceptable in your sight. For this we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Now, I will say this, that I didn't make the change so much on the fly this morning that I was not able to share it with our children. Our children, they were in on it too, so they know this story. But this is the scripture that I was inviting our children to know. And you know, they very quickly, they know about names. They know how we get our names and how we come to our names. But how many of you know that phrase, what's in a name? And you know, as cliche as that may sound, that idea about what's in a name, there is something that is extraordinarily valuable about that. There's something extraordinarily valuable about what our name is. But Jesus was not just inviting this is not a moment that we turn to the Gospel of Matthew as Jesus and his friends, as his disciples, as they're walking into Caesarea Philippi. It's not a moment that Jesus is just an affirmation of his own influence, but it's a moment that he truly asks. He says, "What are people saying about me?" What Matthew will do, and this story appears in some of the other Gospels too. This is one of those stories that is similar. It's the same that appears in Luke and Mark that you'll come across and that you'll find it. But what Matthew invites us to do is Matthew invites us to see that as Jesus has spent time with his disciples, that as they have lived life together, like we do together, that as they have lived life together with Jesus at the very center of what they're doing, he says, "What are people saying about me? What are people saying about my life? What are people saying about what we are doing together?" And they quickly respond to Jesus. They say, "Well, some people have said that you're John the Baptist." Now, you may remember. You may remember that John the Baptist is the very one that invited people to come from all over and have this experience of water being poured over their heads, over their bodies, this experience of baptism for the repentance of sins. Even Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. They say, "Well, some people are saying John the Baptist. Some people are saying Elijah. Some people are saying Jeremiah." These prophets, these ancient prophets, these Hebrew prophets, that some people are saying this about you, Jesus. And it was important. Important for Jesus to know what people are talking about because those discussions that are centered around him, centered around what they are doing, the lives that they are living together. But this idea about what's in a name gives us insight about what we know about what people are saying about us. So it makes us keenly aware of oftentimes what people are saying. But then there's a shift, a rather significant shift with Simon Peter. It says, "But what about all of you? What about all of you? Who do you say that I am?" In other words, what's your personal story of Jesus? And I wonder if we do that. You know, I was inviting our children to sort of think about that. I was inviting our children to sort of imagine what they would say about Jesus if they were on one-on-one. But you know, in limited time, limited space, we don't have that time. But what about us? What's our story about Jesus? What's our story about the work that Jesus has done? Not only on the cross, but the work not only on the cross and the resurrection, which does shape and mold everything that we think about Jesus. But what is the story that we carry with us right now about the work that Jesus is doing? The ongoing work that Jesus is doing, not only in shifts about sermon topics and sermon directions, but also the shifts that Jesus is continuing to speak to us in those places in our lives that are both small and large. What about Jesus' own ministry? A ministry that we recognize does not end with the death of Jesus, but only continues. In fact, the book of Acts will remind us of how vital that ongoing ministry continues. But this idea about what do you say about Jesus, that what's our story about Jesus, has all kinds of implications. And even implications about the lives that we live together, just like it had implications about the life that Jesus continued to live and invite his own disciples to live with. I mean, what we say about Jesus really makes a significant impact. Even makes an impact on our church. Makes an impact on the life of our church. For example, if we were to hear that Grace Point United Methodist Church was a church that was closing, well, what we say about Jesus and the story that we carry with us in our hearts about Jesus will probably have something, some kind of insight about that. But what would we say? What would we say about God? What would we say about Jesus? And it may seem far-fetched to imagine, you know, a story about a church that is closing, but Lifeway Research shows us that 3,700 Protestant churches close each year. Now, that's not an approximate number, but that's kind of an average. But it's about 3,700 Protestant churches that close each year. But our story about Jesus, who we say Jesus is, the kind of imaginations that we carry with us when we say that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and what Jesus is doing with us, not only personally, but together as a church, makes a difference. It makes a difference about the story that we carry with us about Jesus. One of the things that Matthew is doing also in this gospel is his beginning, subtly, and then not so subtly, of reminding his disciples that there are going to be times I'm no longer with you. And what they will carry with them is this story that they have about Jesus, and so our own stories. Not only about Jesus, but also our own story about what Grace Point is, what it means for us, and what this church does in our lives. It makes a big difference. Notice one thing about Simon Peter's story about Jesus. He stands above the rumors. He stands above the innuendo. And he says to him, he says, "But you, Jesus, you are the Messiah." And notice what Jesus immediately says. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." Uses his formal name. "But then this, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And this is when our story about Jesus, this is when our story about Grace Point really becomes exciting. This is when those stories really become, and this is where they really begin to take on a life of their own, is when we come to realize that what is God saying to us about Jesus? What is God saying to us about Grace Point? Where it's not just something that we've heard, not just a rumor that we've overheard, not something that someone else has said, but something that God has said to us that it does not come through flesh and blood, but something that God has put into our hearts. And imagine that. Imagine the story of Jesus that we carry with us through our hearts. The story of Jesus that has not been revealed to us by what we've read about, what we've been brought up in, but the story that God has put into our hearts. Jesus says you're blessed. That's what he says to Simon Peter. Jesus says that you're blessed when you're able to speak from what not only flesh and blood has revealed to you, but what God has truly revealed to you, because that's what we're talking about. That's the way Simon Peter was able to confess that Jesus is the Messiah, because God had uncovered that in his life. God had shown him that in his life. And that's when we begin. Just like Simon Peter will begin his own next step, that's when we begin to live into this story. What is it about our relationship with Jesus? What is it about our relationship with our own church that has not come to us through flesh and blood? What is it about God that is showing us right now about our church, about Jesus? Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in statistics, rumors, idle talk, as the Bible will talk about it. But have you ever heard someone say before? You ever heard someone say, "Well, you know, we just need to start stirring some stuff up. You know, we just need to start moving and we need to start stirring some stuff up." We know the book of Hebrews reminds us. Now, it's not as southern as we may take it about stirring stuff up, but the book of Hebrews does remind us. How is it? How is it that we are able, as people who believe that Jesus has died and that Jesus has been raised from the dead, how is it that people like us who know the story of Jesus that's in our hearts, that has not come to us through flesh and blood, but it has actually been revealed to us because of what God has done in our lives, how can we, and this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, how can we stir some stuff up, or in Scripture, how can we learn, how can we discover, how can we provoke one another to love and to good works? Yeah, that's probably the kind of stirring up that our whole world does need right now, is that how can we provoke one another to love and good works? That's Holy Spirit work. That's Holy Spirit work, and the kind that's not just flesh and blood, but the kind that God is able to reveal to us right here. It's the kind that God is able to reveal to us right now. Simon Peter, and I think that it's real easy to overlook this as we're reading the text, because Matthew's a good writer. But Simon Peter, in a sense, well, he does what Simon Peter will so often do. He takes a chance. He takes a chance, and he says, "Jesus, Yeah, it's not John the Baptist. It's not a prophet. It's not someone from the past. But Jesus, you're God's Messiah. And you're with us. That's who I know you to be. And that's the blessing. That's the blessing that Jesus gives to Simon Peter, because he says, well, it's not rumor. It's not innuendo. It's not even flesh and blood. But Simon Peter, God's working in your heart now. God's doing something. And you are blessed, because this is not something that you could have come from anywhere else except from God. That's the story of Jesus I'm inviting you. And on this day, the day that we look with expectation to Wednesday, when we will join together for Ash Wednesday, and as we look forward to next Sunday, as we celebrate the first Sunday of Lent, let us enter this season secure in the story of Jesus, secure in the story of Grace Point that we're taking with us. Let's bow our heads. Oh Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for your Holy Spirit that stands well beyond, Lord, well beyond our own flesh, that stands well beyond our own blood that flows through our veins. But Lord, we're grateful for you who come to us, and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is able to live in our hearts and continues to live in our world. And we ask you this day that as we prepare to come before your table, Lord, that you may set our hearts aright, and that you may speak into us tenderly, and that you may, Lord, open us up to the power and the presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. And I would like to invite you that as we prepare to celebrate at the communion table this morning,